What are the top three things I need to say in this intro? Well, number one, it's Create a List-based podcast week. Number two, we're going to be following the live-action Renegade podcasters. And number three, it's all coming up on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's the start of List Podcast Week, where I've asked our teams to take advantage of the growing trend of internet-based lists and create a podcast that uses them. The live-action Renegade podcasters, Travis, Gabriel, David, and Jen, are making their List podcast and checking it twice. Because of their win last week, they got a special coaching session with Major Spoilers founder and Top 5 List podcast producer, Steven Schleicher. We'll listen in on that, their coaching session with Tom, and later on in the show, we'll listen to their submission for the week. But first, let's check in with David. I'm here with David Luzader from the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. I do keep wanting to say Live Action Role Players, but I know that that's the genesis of the name, but... Not the actual meaning of the name. Coming off of a good and bad judging and elimination episode. The good is that you guys didn't lose anybody, but boy, it seemed like a couple of the judges were really hammering on everybody last night.
Yeah, a little bit, but the feedback we got was really good, especially from Jenny and what was echoed by Justin. It was, investigation. I'm going to take you to task on this. Investigation is a tough one for 1 week. So to have them kind of from an outside perspective say, hey, here's what would make this a little bit better for us was like, oh, you know, of course, that's great. That's like, it was actually kind of invigorating where it's like, if we got to do more of this, that was really helpful what they said.
Yeah, I think so. The big takeaway was just making sure you're fully invested in the story that you're telling and that you know this story so well that if you walk up to somebody at a party, you can tell the story without, you know, having details and information in front of you so that they can go and tell it like they heard it on a podcast.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do in 1 week, especially 1 week after you're coming off of comedy and then going right into basically investigative and true crime.
Yeah, and we had the ups and downs of we were starting to pursue one story that ended up being too big for us to tell in the time we had, so we had to make some shifts. And it was just with the other team as well, it sounds like a lot of swerving all around the road and correcting just in the nick of time.
Yeah, and you guys did a great job, and I think that from the sounds of it, if you guys are able to go back and visit that other subject, you know, the full Bill Mantlo story, I think that does sound like it would be a fascinating show to listen to, even if it's like a, you know, a 4-part series. I'd tune in. I would listen to that in a heartbeat because it's a fascinating subject.
Good to know.
Yeah. So look, you know, you've already won, right? So there you go. It's as good as done. But let's talk about lists because I felt like, all right, let's give them something that feels like it would be an easier one. I've never done a list podcast myself, but I feel like it's got to be easier than comedy and investigative because you can put a lot of opinion into it. You can put a lot of improvisation and kind of off the cuff discussion amongst your teammates for the show. Is that what you guys are seeing, or what kinds of things are you already noticing with this week?
Yeah, so this week definitely has more room to kind of just have some fun with it, but I think the biggest challenge is the time, because listening to other podcasts where it's like, you know, we're just going to go through the top five. I was listening to one today where it's like, we're going to do the top five Halloween candies, and it's two people with a top five list, but they go for like 45 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, they're each coming with a top five list. So it's really starting to look at that time and be like, okay, we have 15 minutes. That is enough time for, you know, one or two subjects on a list. And we don't want our list to be two things. So it's,
it does feel like three is the minimum you can go and call it a list, right? You can't really say, all right, we're going to go through the top two Halloween candies, Kit Kats and Reese's. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Right, exactly. It's like you have your first place and your runner up. Three does at least make it feel enough like a list.
That's great. And are you guys feeling like like picking a narrow subject for your list to be in that feels like it has potential to be part of a bigger series. Is that an easy task or is that a difficult one?
I think with what we're talking about, and we're still trying to hammer out the details, would be a little bit of a recommendation podcast in a way, but themed. So just like for an example, a part of it might be recommending stuff to like video games to play. But it's going to be, you know, if the theme right now, I know it'll be later when this episode comes out, but if the theme is Halloween and horror, it's like, what are the three best horror games you could play right now?
Sure. Oh, see, that's a great, yeah, and that feels like a great subject that's timely. Three does feel like it's enough in a category like that, you know, whereas as opposed to the three best fast food places when you've got, you know, thousands to choose from, feels like that's a really good direction to go. Excellent. And is this going to be, you've got four people on your team. Is this going to be multiple voices or are some people going to be working more behind the scenes or chiming in as an opening or closing kind of thing?
Go ahead. Hopefully we, with the format we're approaching, we might be able to get all four voices on, but have it be distinct enough that we're not going to have everybody speaking at once. So it doesn't get confusing for the listener.
Good.
That's the key.
Yeah. And it's funny because as we're getting into the nitty gritty here with four players, making sure everybody is represented is, it just gets tougher and tougher depending on the subject matter, depending on the genre of the podcast that week. So, I think you're right. This feels like one where each of you can kind of chime in and still be heard, still be individual, I guess is the way I want to say it, right? Where, you know, you can all voice your different opinions on a different item in the list and still be able to kind of move through it and get through the list.
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, with something like investigation, you want to pair back and have everybody kind of play to their strength. But coming off that, where it's like, okay, now we want to try to get everybody on the mic if possible. It's just now how do, you know, we don't want to just follow it up where it's like the same people are on mic every week, the same people are editing.
Right.
We want to make sure we're all showing our best sides.
Good. And you guys are getting the bonus coaching session, which has proven to be both positive and negative. Some teams have worked well with the coaching session. Some teams lose the week they get the coaching session. But and it's somebody you're already familiar with since you kind of snuck out on your own and interviewed him last week for your show.
Ooh, that was lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's actually, and it's lucky. And I think it's also kind of a benefit that now you're talking to him again, you don't have to, you know, it's a continuation of the conversation. Mm-hmm. You guys don't have to introduce yourself and talk about what you're doing. He's already familiar with it and he can kind of coach you on that stuff.
Exactly.
Good. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to listen in on that and hear his excellent coaching advice, his top five tips for how to make a good top whatever podcast. David, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Brian.
From Major Spoilers and, coincidentally, the Top 5 podcast, here is Mr. Steven Schleicher. Welcome,
hello.
Steven.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. I'm going to introduce you once again to the Live Action Renegade podcasters, and they've got 15 minutes starting now to ask you questions about how to create a good Top 5 or Top Anything list podcast. Go.
All right. I guess first, just when you have to make a list, where do you start?
Oh, man, that's a good question, right? So there's a couple of things that you have to think about, I guess, when you're creating a listicle show. First of all, listicle shows, everybody loves a list, right? And so they're great clickbait material. So people always want to find out something. But when it comes to lists, you have to ask yourself, what are the people listening for? And are they listening for information or learning? You know, here are five tips to make your life better. Are they listening to it to get to know a little bit about you? You know, we do this a lot on our show. If, you know, as we're sharing our top five movies, people learn a little bit about us in the process. So that could be a reason why people are listening. People could listen for controversy. Oh, they say that these are the top five robots in film, but are they really, you know, those kind of things. And so they're looking for that controversy, but then they could also be just looking for fun and humor and those kinds of things. So when it comes to picking a topic for our show, oftentimes it's stuff that's in our wheelhouse or things that we are familiar with. But a lot of times we'll just go to our listeners and say, hey, throw us a top five suggestion and we'll see what goes from there.
And then when you have to make like your specific list when you're going to be on the show, what's your process for figuring out your top five?
Well, the good thing is I only pick topics that I'm interested in. So, you know, if they're talking about, you know, here are the top five movies or here are the top five whatever's in this category, it's usually something that I already kind of have a familiarity with. But I'll give you guys a heads up. We're recording a new top five tonight, and it's the top five movies that are actually better than the source material, like the better than the book. Ooh. And so in those kinds of things, you kind of have to start thinking about, well, what are some of my favorite movies? What are ones that are adaptations of another source material? And then go and look and see, have I read that source material? Am I familiar with that source material? And if I am, do I rank them or not? I'm a fan of Stephen King, not a big fan of his books, as I've talked about before. But, you know, some of his movie adaptations are actually better than the books, especially when it comes to ending. So that's something that I can draw upon to build my list.
Have you ever like had to make a list for a subject you weren't particularly like excited about? Like, say, if, you know, listening to your show, if Matthew was really interested in a subject.
Yeah, we get requests or we get suggestions a lot from music, and music is not my big area of expertise. So it's better for me if I have something that is general for music. But if someone's like, hey, here are the top five songs from 1982 or something, then I have to really go back and do the research and say, well, what are songs that I remember from that time period, et cetera. So there is research involved in this. It's not just completely opinion.
So how do you do your research?
I'll go out and I'll gather other information, like what are some other people? What have they said? Or in the case of the top five Oscar movies or something like that, I'll go through and find out, well, what are all the Oscar winning movies? Let's look at those. What are the ones that I have? And I'll start building a ranking. And what's hard oftentimes about these is, how do I narrow it down to five? Or in your case, I think you guys have three. How do I narrow that down to five out of maybe 20 movies that I really, really love? And then so you really start putting some pluses, some minuses, what's good about this, what's bad about this. In the case of our show, I know that one thing that we try to avoid is having a lot of duplicates on our list. And so we don't share our list before we record, but we are always thinking, I bet Matthew's going to pick that one, or Rodrigo would pick that one, or Ashley would definitely mention this one. So I can move that one lower on my list and move something else that might be a little bit more obscure up that list.
Okay. And then when you have like your list ready to go, how do you then make your points for each of the items on the list that you're going to talk about on the show?
Sometimes it's very extemporaneous speaking, right? Here's my argument. Here's why I like this. Here's why I put it on the list. Other times we might bring in facts like, you know, according to this source or according to, you know, this person who spoke about it, this is why I'm putting this here. Or if you're basing it on, I'm putting this on my list just because of the number of awards it's won, or, you know, those kinds of things can help in the ranking. But here's the cool thing about the list. Unless you're doing something purely for informational purposes, like, this is really morbid, but the top three serial killers, and you're ranking them by the number of people that they have killed, that's, you know, pretty much straightforward stuff. But a lot of times when it comes to lists, and this is where that controversy comes in and why I think a lot of people like lists, is because they want to hear your opinion, right? So your opinion kind of matters, unless you're going for a fact-based, you know, list that is purely the top three presidents of the United States, you know, based on their, based on the order that they were elected president. Then you really can only go one, two, and three. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. When you then are talking about something that is subjective, how do you speak to that with a level of authority without making it seem like, well, you know, my opinion's this?
Well, of course, we don't say that, but we do make a point a lot of times that are saying, hey, remember, these are our lists. These are not definitive answers. These are things that affect us personally, or the way we believe these things personally. And so a lot of people will get that very early on in the show that, oh, no, these are these guys' opinions. If we were to talk about the top five video games, that's purely subjective on my part based on the number of games that I have played and my experience with that. That is in no way authoritarian. Now, again, if you're going to, you know, rank things based on some kind of an official order, you better have spelled out why you're using or what data you're using to make your claim or your proof on why this one deserves a number one spot.
How important do you think a criteria is while making a list outside of just like a general theme?
Yeah. So when we talk, we did one a few months ago. I think it was our top five retro games, or I'm sorry, it was top five classic arcade games, right? And so we had to define, first of all, what does classic mean? Something that's older than 25 years old. And so that puts us in a time frame from which to choose from. We've done one of our favorite, I can't remember if it was national parks or favorite places to vacation or something like that. And I specifically stepped up and said, I'm only basing this on locations that I have been, not basing this on any other people's opinions. So there can be those stipulations that you put in there. We did a top five foods that we've eaten recently. And so there were some qualifiers on that. You know, it could be the top five foods that we had this week, this month, in the last 6 months, something like that. So you, if you put a qualifier in, I think that helps the audience understand a little bit better where you're coming from.
When you get to your number one, or you're listing out and you get the number one, you're going to talk about it. Do you feel like you need to give that number one more weight? Like, how do you emphasize, like, this is why I picked this for my number one? Or is that relative to the subject?
I mean, that's relative to the subject, right? I mean, some things are pretty standout, pretty obvious, depending on the person that's talking. I think we've done this show now, it seems like 10 years, something like that. I forget how long we've been doing this show, quite honestly. But I think that when people start to listen to our shows, they're going to know, oh, when it comes to movies, Steven is going to have usually these top three movies, if they fit into the category, as is 1, 2, and 3. And he's expounded upon these multiple times about why Back to the Future is one of his favorite movies of all time, or why Raiders of the Lost Ark can't be beat by anyone else. And so, you know, they kind of have that understanding too in coming at it from a long perspective. But you really just have to, if you're going to justify something, you need to say, here's why I think this is number one. This is why I think this is better than everything else. These are the criteria that I applied to this to ensure that it's number one. So you really kind of have to do that. Now, if you go out and look at true listicles on the web, you're going to find that they don't put those kind of qualifiers on there. In fact, a lot of times they're doing it to troll people because they know that they're going to start firing off in the comments section. And that's ideally what you want. And the same thing's going to happen here, because you're going to come up with your list and it may not match anyone else of your listeners' list. And hopefully they're going to write to you and say, well, I disagree with you on this because of this, this, and this. And then you can say, well, please share your top five list, because everybody loves a list. And so you get them to feedback in your comment section, or you get them to feedback in your Discord or Twitter or wherever that you are asking for them to provide feedback.
Great. Travis and Gabe, do you guys have anything? I feel like I've been leading the charge here.
No, you've covered a lot of what I would have asked already, so.
Have you guys picked your topic? I mean, I know it's top three, but have you picked your top three whatevers?
So we haven't quite figured out exactly what we're going to do yet. One we're tossing around there would be a theme to the episode, and I just got distracted by something. So there's a theme to the episode, like say horror, and then one person comes on and they give like, what are your top three horror video games? Then the next person comes on, like, what are your top three horror books?
Yeah. Yes. The concept we're looking at is like PWR. So short for power, basically. So 15 minutes of power would be play, watch, read. And it would be off of that, like kind of that thematic going on.
So just so you guys kind of understand, how long is your show supposed to be? Only 15 minutes, right?
15 minutes, right.
So just to kind of put it in perspective, we do a show that's called Top 5. So each of us are bringing in five items to our list. And when there's three of us on the show, it usually takes about 40 minutes to get through everybody's list. If there's two of us on the show, I can pretty much know that it's going to take 30 minutes for that show. So if you've only got 15 minutes and you're trying to get through three things in three categories, that could easily take up, you know, even at 3 minutes per category, that's about a half hour show right there. So you guys might want to consider narrowing it down further. You know, if you're saying your top five horror genre, but this is going to be something that covers both games, movies, and books, then maybe you find something that fits all three of those categories. I don't know, but I'm concerned that if you're all trying to rush in and just say, here's my number three, here's my number two, and here's my number one, and you're trying to explain and justify that in that short amount of time, you might run out of time.
That is a worry about that, like too much stuff without enough time to go over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of the problem with this week that we're running into is even if we're doing a pure top five definitive thing, you know, each item on the list then gets about 3 minutes.
Right. And that's ideal. I think that would work really well for your show. If you got, and again, I don't know how many, if all of you are going to host and provide some input, but if you did like a top three natural disasters, right, then each one of your hosts could each take one of those three, talk about it for a couple of minutes, and then get to the next one and move up. And that would still give you at 9 minutes. And I'm not saying that you have to keep these each at 3 minutes, but at 9 minutes, that still gives you time for an intro to introduce the topic, some qualifiers, an exit, and then out in that 15 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, you guys obviously do whatever you want. I'm just concerned that if each of you are trying to provide three in that 15 minute time period, you might run out of time. The other thing that you might want to think about is if you're doing top three in horror in, you know, reading or whatever, whoever's presenting that one, just go, here's my number three, here's my number two, and now here's my number one, and talk at length about why this one is your number one. And then that might make a nice teaser at the end for, you know, just thinking ahead. If you were to ever, you know, as we've talked, as Brian has talked to you guys before in other seasons and other shows, that if you decided to continue to do something like this, that's where you want to say, hey, if you want to find out what our a little bit more detail about why we picked these at number three or number two, join our mailing list, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or, you know, become our patron or whatever that you're going to do. And then you have that longer show with those threes and twos in there that provide that added value to the listener and to a patron.
Hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Now, one thing, I know we're about to wrap up, but here's one thing that I'm really a lot of controversy on this one, okay, is that a lot of people write to us and say, hey, can you print out, or can you, on the post for the show, can you just list what your top five things are, whatever they are? Can you just do that? And it's like, well, yeah, that would be easy to do, add it into a show note. But then, and a lot of people ask that, and a lot of people suggest, oh, you should provide that list. But here's the downside of this. As I probe back to people saying, oh, why do you want to have that list there? Why do you want it printed there? The answer is, so I don't have to listen to the show.
Right.
And I mean, that is the downside of it. Yes, they want the information, but they don't want to work through the 30 minutes of us explaining and justifying and having fun and learning more about us. They just want that list so that they can move on with their day. So that is something that I wouldn't include the actual list of your answers in any kind of show note or web page or anything like that.
Yeah. Luckily, I think that with the nature of the competition, we wouldn't really be able to. So that kind of saves us from that.
Yeah, definitely. If it ever became a full-on show, I wouldn't want to do it that way, because for that very reason. Because I would be the type of person that would just read the list. Mm-hmm. I can fully admit that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, and it happens. I mean, we've had literal friends, you know, close friends of ours literally tell us, oh, I just want to read the list, or I just want to go back and reference something. It's like, I'm sorry, that we don't want to do that. Now, we have had some of our listeners start to build a database somewhere of old shows, but not necessarily the brand new stuff.
Let's listen to their coaching session with Tom Merritt.
Live Action Renegades, how you feeling?
Pretty good. Hey.
This is a challenge this week that is close to my heart. I know some of you may know this, but I started a top five video at CNET in like 2006 that's still going. Hayaz Akhtar does it now. So lists are close to my heart. What are y'all thinking?
We want to have fun.
Our current format idea a little bit is not coming necessarily into a show with a list, but to figure out a list in the show. So we will have a theme and then five things within that theme, and then spend the time putting those five things into a list.
Okay. For a minute, I was about to get all Jimmy Iovine on you and tell me you needed to sell me on this idea, but I think I get it. The idea is you're coming to the audience with a list, you know, the top five greatest opera singers, but you don't know what the five are. And that's what your podcast is about, is nailing down who belongs in that list of five. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're actually coming. We have the five items. It's just what rank do they go in? And then the discussion about what order they should be in that list.
Well, that's fine and probably a really good idea for efficiency's sake and making sure that you've got the, you know, you've got the limits to your conversation. But I wouldn't be averse to the conceit being, hey, we're going to sit down and figure out the top five opera singers. Let's go, guys. And not give away that you kind of already know what the five are going to be.
Well, we don't necessarily know which order they're going to be.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But I like the idea of if we can have enough of a pool to play in.
Yeah.
So we don't use the time well, but behind the scenes, we might know.
Yeah. I think that's probably a really good idea to know, like, these are the five, right? Okay, great. And you don't have to hang a big flag on it. Don't overdo it in pretending. But you don't have to let people know that you already figured out the five ahead of time. Because I think that's part of the fun is them wanting to know, like, oh, what five are they going to pick? And you can also throw out, you know, red herrings of like, should so-and-so be on this list? And you guys can, you know, maybe say why you're not including, and that gives you a chance to include some other people. I like this idea. It's a really creative take.
All right. Great. Is there a risk, do you think, with that kind of format, with having four people on there? Is that too many voices, maybe?
It's a roundtable show is the thing. You've now taken a list show, which normally would be a very highly produced single voice, lots of sound ups, sound effects, and you've turned it into a roundtable show. So you have to think about it like a roundtable show, and edit it appropriately to make sure that it's focused and record it and lead it appropriately. Maybe one of you should be the list queen or king who decides, you know, which things, you know, is kind of for the purposes of the recording, making like, okay, that one's going at number three, or doing that to give it some more. You definitely need some structure and organization to it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's like in any of the roundtable stuff that you've done where you need to leave enough room for you to be loose and play off each other, but not make the editor, whoever's editing this, you don't want to make their job horrible. If you don't need all four of you in there, it's not bad to decide like, okay, one of us is going to be the editor. So, you know, let's have fewer voices, because four is starting to be a lot, especially in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we should look out for while making a list? Any in your experience?
You know, it's the thing about making lists is you don't want to get too caught up in being right. There's no right answer. And it's always a great thing to kind of throw to the audience of like, what would your top five of this be? Kind of emphasizing like, this is just our opinion. You know, everybody's got a different opinion. This isn't a scientific ranking. And then you have permission to have fun with it and come up with entertaining arguments and reasons and stuff like that. I never got too caught up in the number one being like, okay, I have to defend it against all comers. Just always having a good reason of why you did it. And the best part about your concept is those reasons are going to come out as part of the content, which is really cool.
Okay. Did we have any show titles that we wanted to kind of workshop a little bit, by the way, guys?
Well, that's a problem that we're having right now. We have such a long list. We have a long list. Maybe ideas and how to power some down a little bit, so we're not dancing on.
You're going to get meta and make the episode about picking the name of your show?
Yeah.
That's actually on there.
Top five titles for this show.
Well, I would go with something that is descriptive, right? Most list shows are like top five whatever, right? It's pretty simple. You could be, you know, the list makers, list crafters, you know, the list factory, something along those lines of, you know, letting people know in the title, it's going to be a top five list, but it's going to be how, you know, a behind the scenes, it's going to be the making of, that you can have some creative titles that aren't in there that you wouldn't want to use in a more produced version of this. I do want to point out that just general psychology is when you put top five in a headline or a title, it makes people want to click. So you want to make the episode title definitely be top five opera stars or whatever the concept is, right? And so it's tempting to want to make that part of the show name too, because it is grab people, but you've got a good reason to not have to use that, and you can put it, you can still put the top five element into the actual episode names.
Okay.
All right.
Also interesting, just as a factoid, I learned this from a magazine publisher. Odd numbers, generally more attractive people than even numbers when you're doing lists. Next time you're in the grocery store line and you look at the magazines, check that out. You'll maybe see an 8, yeah. But it's usually 5, 7, 12. 10 is an exception too, but yeah.
Okay.
Or 10, 11, 12.
Every beauty magazine is like 11 ways yeah. to something.
Because it sounds right. like it's a little more for some reason.
What would be, since you used to do a list show, just what would kind of be your process in making your list? How did you decide what was going to be number one?
Yeah, and I still do. And I actually do top five for Tech Republic. My process back in the CNET days was to go to the audience and say, like, I'm doing the top five reasons Apple sucks, and I'm also doing the top five reasons Apple is great. Tell me what should be on this list. And I'd go to Twitter and get responses from people for that. And I use that as brainstorming. You know, if I got a lot of people saying the same thing, that would be an indication I should probably include that. But I just used it as a way to like gather a bunch of ideas to put in the list. These days, I'm doing less of these like ranking lists and more of like five things to know about. So I'm looking for topics that are buzzy, that I'm seeing a lot of people suddenly start to mention or write about that wasn't happening before. And then I dig in and just come up with five things that people need to know about that situation.
Okay.
And it kind of dances down a little bit of something we're looking at. Cause like, obviously when the release of this episode, I guess will be coming out, will be right around Thanksgiving we're looking at, or right before Thanksgiving. That could also be something we could play with.
Yeah. What is your top five topic? I mean, you've got to pick one that's going to knock the judge's socks off.
So we were thinking we were maybe going to run it a couple of times, you know, to kind of do it to see how it feels and what feels good. But
so like Thanksgiving foods, Halloween candies, first date ideas, board games, 90s boy bands.
You want it to be controversial. You want it to be something you can argue about. So Thanksgiving foods, not so much, but first date
David
ideas.
Has opinions.
Well, I mean, you can have opinions about anything, but people out, it has to seem like it to the outside, right? They have to look at that title and go, oh yeah, I've got ideas on what's good and bad on that. And I wonder if theirs are the same. Food ideas for Thanksgiving, people aren't going to get all up in arms about. First dates, now people are like, oh, I'm interested in the ideas. So the more intriguing to the audience that topic is, the better. Your obstacle is going to be in the editing, I think. It's going to be, did you get the right stuff from your roundtable discussion in there in a way that keeps me moving along? I can imagine the judge's criticisms being, I was lost, you didn't let me know where I was going, so make sure you put signposts on everything. Don't be afraid to do like sound edit cuts where you like take as if you're taking pieces of a larger conversation, which you will be, and just putting a little whoosh or a little sound effect to show like, okay, we're moving on forward in the evening in the discussion. Use those kinds of things to keep it organized.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
Yeah,
I hear that in my head. I hear it in my head. If we agree on it and we get to like that, whatever, then yeah, it's like five, ding, like four, ding, like something like that. Yeah. I still think that we should do Thanksgiving foods as like practice, but I think he's right.
We should avoid
the data.
Yeah.
Right. But I think we need to do one as practice that we know we're not going to use. So I still think we use Thanksgiving foods for that idea, just so we can get a feel for it.
We should take a second at the top to breathe so that people, if we're going to have voices, like multiple voices, like people need to know the voices by the time we get into the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I guess I was agreeing with you and just kind of seeing how it sounded.
Yeah, I'm not saying like it definitely has to be 2 minutes. It's just like, you know, we got to give it a minute up top to breathe. That's why the 15 minutes actually kind of helps in this time.
I kind of feel like I'm like, there's not going to be, it's going to be loose. This is going to be a very loose podcast. And I think that if I try to overplan this anymore, I'm starting to overthink it more than I think we need to. And I think that's going to actually kind of hurt us in the long run.
Welcome to Listmasters, the roundtable discussion where we take our world of infinite choices and break it all down into little top five lists. I'm your host, Gabriel, and as always, we have our panel of guest master listers who will be using their knowledge and, of course, biased opinions to create this week's list. Panel, introduce yourselves.
I'm David Luzader. I am the co-host of Brokebot Mountain and the Movie Go Round podcast.
I'm the Jen from Geek Grills and the Drunk Kids Gaming Community.
And I am TV's Travis, host of Wait, You Haven't Seen, a movie podcast.
And this week's topic is the top five U.S. cities to visit. After all, the world is getting smaller and smaller thanks to social media and the ease of traveling. While pictures may say a thousand words, you simply can't compare it to being in the moment with the sights, the sounds, and the smells these cities have to offer. So pack your bags, take off your shoes before being frisked, and let's start things off with you first, Jen.
So I think on this list, there's no question to me that Chicago has to go on this list for sure if I have to pick a top five.
Playing to the host.
Yeah, Chicago. I mean, yeah, Chicago seems pretty up there. I would also say if we're going to talk about like places that can't be missed, New Orleans is so unique that I think it has to be there.
I agree. I definitely agree.
I do want to put New York on the list just because it is New York City. It is the city that never sleeps. I think that that belongs in your top five. You know, I'm willing to listen to arguments. I love Chicago and New Orleans, but New York for me is a great town.
Well, we'll throw it on there for sure. Where else? This gets tough because there's like other big cities like Los Angeles, but not Los Angeles. Los Angeles does not belong on this list.
I agree. I mean, don't go out of your way to go to LA. You'll probably end up there at some point, but you don't need to go to, you're out of your way to go there. I kind of feel the same way about like Portland or Seattle. Great cities, but like, I don't know if I need them in the top five.
I might argue for Seattle, but I also think that Las Vegas is a city that if you haven't been there, you should at least go there once.
I love Las Vegas.
If we're going unique cities, I will agree Las Vegas does stand out among these. I'm thinking possibly Denver. How do people feel about Denver?
I mean, I've been to Denver.
I have not.
I don't think I'd put it in my top five, though. It's kind of like DC, like, right? Like, I've been to DC, and I definitely encourage people to go to DC, but I wouldn't put it down as, like, my top five cities to visit.
Oh, all right. Where else, then? Where else could people go?
I always have fun in Milwaukee. I've never not had fun in Milwaukee. I know it sounds crazy. It's so random, but I think it's a great town. There's a lot of fun things to do. It's affordable to get there.
Although I feel like if you're in Chicago for any length of time, you can take a trip up to Milwaukee pretty easily. So
that's a fair point. What about Miami then? Like I think
I was going to say in Orlando or Miami, something like that.
I go Miami over Orlando.
I mean, if you're a Disney fan.
Oh, that's true.
You know, if you're a fan of theme parks of any kind, Orlando is great for that with both Disney and Universal Studios.
If we're not throwing Los Angeles on the list for theme park reasons, I will back Orlando.
My whole thing is like, I kind of feel like I want to fight for like San Francisco or Dallas or Austin. Like those are all places I've had a good time in, but I don't, again, I just, San Francisco would go in my top five, but I think that's more nostalgia than anything else.
Well, we need one more to get our top six, and we can whittle it from there. So, what are you thinking?
Oh, I'm good with this five. I don't know if we need to argue any more down, unless anybody has any they feel really need to be on there.
No, I mean, you know, an argument could be made for San Francisco. It could also be made for Austin
and San Diego.
That's true, but I do like the five that we have because I think there's a good variety to those.
All right, and those five currently stand at Chicago, New Orleans, New York, Las Vegas, and Orlando.
Okay, so I feel like New York has to be in the top five list, but I kind of don't need it to be at the top of that list.
I agree. I don't know if it needs to be at number five, but it is an experience. People, I think, do need to go to New York to experience it, because you will realize very quickly that just like there's something about it that is just so New York. Like I was walking around Brooklyn. Like you'll be walking around Brooklyn at 4 in the morning, and that feels normal. When you are in New York, what also feels normal is a guy that you was
was walking next to you, stopping, stepping in the middle of the street, and relieving himself. And you will just keep walking like nothing happened.
I feel like everything you just said could also be said for both New Orleans and also Las Vegas.
You're not wrong there. For me, with this list, I'm putting Orlando at number 5. I love Orlando. I love the theme parks. But comparatively to the other ones, outside of those theme parks, Orlando doesn't have as much to offer.
I agree.
Yeah, it has. It's very certain, you know, if you like the beach life and the club life, then it's all for you. But I think for the three of us, it's got Harry Potter and Disney, and that's probably as far as we're going to take it.
I'm assuming none of you guys have kids going on here. That might sway some of the Orlando vote.
You know, I went there as a kid, and I definitely remember going, and it was a great time. So I think Orlando is definitely my number 5.
I'll agree with that.
All right, so let's lock it in. Orlando at number 5.
Number 5, Orlando.
Now, this brings me back to the point before where I feel like New York then I think sits comfortably at a number 4 for me.
I would agree. I think I would agree. I feel like I'm not saying they're the same. I feel like New York and Chicago are pretty similar.
Whoa.
But I think, hold up. In terms of like giant cities, like that's how my mind's thinking. Like New Orleans feels so distinct from New York and Chicago, where New York and Chicago for me don't feel as distinct from one another. But I would put New York probably lower than Chicago. I'm also realizing we didn't get Boston on this list, and that makes me upset. So I will drop New York to number 4.
I'm cool with New York being number 4. I apologize to all Chicagoans for David's opinion. I would like to know that is his opinion, not my opinion. New York and Chicago are very different. Chicago has a very unique identity, I think. Just want it to be said. I don't want to upset all my friends and family.
I will say I get what David is trying to say, but I will agree that New York is a solid number 4. It's a great city. There's just something wholly unique about it. But if I'm comparing it to the rest of this list, I'm putting it at number 4.
I dig it.
All right, then. So we're going to lock in New York City at number 4.
Number 4, New York.
And New York is so expensive. Jeez. All right. For a number 3, man, this is where it gets tough.
I feel like Las Vegas is my number 2, and I love Chicago. I do think everybody should go visit Chicago, but just with the amount of variety of activities, I think New Orleans and Las Vegas do have a lot to offer. So I would put Chicago, and it probably would be my number 3, even though it's one of my favorite cities in the U.S.
For me, with this list, and again, my opinion, I'm putting I'm going to put New Orleans at number 3 for me. not anything against New Orleans at all, it feels like a number 3 to me comparatively, again, to Vegas and Chicago. That's me.
I'm going to weigh in on the side of Jen on this one, because New York is the city that never sleeps because it is fueled by cocaine, where New Orleans is the city that never sleeps because it's fueled by music and gumbo, and it is amazing.
And not just gumbo. There's so much good food. I mean, I had a piece of catfish that literally, like, it was a religious experience for me. It was incredible.
Well, okay, then why don't we have, is there an argument for Las Vegas at number 3 and Chicago at number 2?
I feel like Las Vegas is got to be at the top of my list, though. Honestly, it's because the reason I put it there is because if you haven't gone, you should go, and I can go there. I've been to New Orleans multiple times, I've been to Vegas multiple times, and Chicago multiple times, and the one that I think has the most revisitability, I don't even know if that's a word, I'm gonna make it a word, would be probably Las Vegas. But I'm
kind of falling a little bit on Chicago being number 3, and I'm sorry to say that, Travis. It's just for me, there's something so unique about I think people should go to Chicago, absolutely, I think they do, but there's just something that is so vibrant and unique about both Las Vegas and New Orleans that push them a little bit above for me.
See, Chicago, it's the food. For me, Chicago has its own unique food. I feel like Las Vegas kind of borrows food from like other places. That's just like like pizza, Italian food, Chicago hot dogs, mushrooms. Like there's a lot of things that are Chicago. Not, I mean, beef sandwiches, you've got Polish dogs. There's a lot of different ways to go than just like one thing. And also just the music in Chicago. There's a huge, huge music scene in Chicago. There's always something to go to go see or whatnot. So I don't know if I could put Chicago any lower than number two here. That's hard.
And that's kind of why I make the argument for Vegas at number three, not because Vegas isn't an incredible town, but because a lot of it is an amalgam of other places. Whereas your New Orleans and Chicago are very unique on their own. They have their identities.
I like that.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
I can get behind that too.
So we'll slap Vegas in number three.
Let's lock it in then. Las Vegas at number three.
Number three, Las Vegas.
All right, so we have the number one and number two spot open for our guests here. We have Chicago and Nolens.
I'm going to go with New Orleans number one, and the reason I say that is because it is a unique, completely unique experience. You can go, no matter what you're into, you can find something to do there. I went back-to-back years I visited and was not bored on either trip, and there was so much to choose from. And again, the food, incredible. The music, incredible. There's culture. There's even like graveyard tours that are incredible, and historical tours, like pretty much anything you could want, you could do. I think people should go out of their way to go if they haven't been.
Well, you know, as much as I want to argue with you about that, there's a reason Chicago is called the second city. we should put Chicago. We can put Chicago in the second place and let New Orleans have number one.
I'm going to back this play, and I'm going to reiterate kind of what's been said before a little bit, where I feel like Chicago, and this is going to seem insulting, but it is not. Chicago is a city with its own identity, absolutely. But I think it is a collection of the culture of America as a big city. And that is great. It is a wonderful representation of some really great things about America, where I think New Orleans is its own thing through and through. It has its own cultural identity. And that it makes it so unique. And I think if you're coming to visit America and it's like your one shot at it, like you can't miss New Orleans.
All right. And so we're locking in Chicago at number two.
Number two, Chicago.
Which leaves New Orleans at number one. We're locking that in.
Number one, New Orleans.
All right, then. There you have it. Our top five U.S. cities to visit are... At number five, Orlando. At number four, New York City. At number three, Las Vegas. At number two, Chicago. And our number one U.S. city to visit is New Orleans. So what do you listeners think? Did we get this wrong? Be sure to let us know on Twitter at ListmasterPod. Don't forget to join us next week when we decide to stay indoors for family night and break down the top five classic board games. On behalf of David, Jen, and Travis, I'm Gabriel, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Listmasters.
That was Listmasters, the List podcast submission from the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. On the next episode, we'll see how the Stick Figure Squad is doing with their show, and then close out the week with the judging and elimination episode, where the last two items on our list will be to crown a winner for the week and to send someone home. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.